Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis
and Benjamin Halden. Today we have on a very special guest, a world-renowned Swedish health and fitness expert, entrepreneur, life coach and personal trainer, Magnus Lidback, who has worked with stars of Hollywood's biggest movies such as Harry Styles, Mike Posner, Michelle Rodriguez, Swedish House Mafia, Ben Affleck, Katy Perry, Britney Spears, Gal Gadot. I did that right. The
Alicia
list goes
Vikander.
On.
Insane people.
He frequently shares insights from these actors' workouts and diet plans on his channels, on Instagram. And today we'll be picking his brain on what goes on behind closed doors in Hollywood. We hope you enjoy this episode and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review and share this episode with someone else you know. So, Magnus, we've already done your ring walk entrance to the podcast and your many accolades, but do you mind just giving us a bit of a more of a background for new listeners to our podcast and for people to get to know you over a short kind of interlude?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been a trainer and nutritionist for 21 years, come from Sweden, grew up there, played different sports, started working with pop artists back in Sweden, realizing that no one was looking at artists. In a sport-specific way, developed a method to work with artists, and that kind of took me to LA. And now I've been here 11 years, working with ton of artists and a few actors.
So talk us through how you got into that whole celebrity training world, because that isn't the normal route for a personal trainer, is it? And kind of what sort of experience did you have to build up along the way and for your journey to kind of get into those roads of working for those people? Because on the podcast, we have quite a lot of listeners who are personal trainers as well. So I'm sure they'll be quite intrigued how you fell into that journey.
Yeah, and it's a question I get a lot. A lot of young trainers wants to know how they can train celebrities. And that was never the plan, really. I love to help people from darkness to light. It's always been my passion. But coming from you know, having a sports background, I just went, when I started, I moved to Stockholm, started working as a personal trainer, working with athletes and regular people, obviously, mostly. One day, a guy walked into the gym called Max Martin, which is one of the world's biggest pop producers, the most successful one, actually, who's created, you know, the sounds of Katy Perry, Backstreet Boys, and Britney Spears. And, and he kind of, through him, I started meeting all these artists and realizing that, holy shit, no, you know, When you train someone, an artist, you get someone's, you get the label celebrity trainer, which is actually, believe it or not, something I'm not a big fan of that label. It's how you train, not who you train, I always say. But I realized that no one was looking at these artists like they were athletes. When you have a pop artist who is doing a 90-minute show and every song is in three and a half minute intervals, you should actually mimic that in a gym. You should break down, what do they need? We know what a football player needs. We know that it's completely different from a rugby player, right? So why not look at pop artists that way? So I developed a method to work, to break down what an artist needs. I started traveling with them and I realized, holy shit, I'm with them 1 hour a day in the gym while they're going time zone to time zone, eating food out of the box, doing promo, and then boom, in front of 10,000 people or 15,000 people on stage. My training doesn't matter much, you know? Well, I need more tools. I need to be able to help these guys in a different way. So that's when I became a certified life coach. I call it lifestyle coach. Such a vague you know, and anyone can be a life coach.
Yeah.
But I started really paying attention to the structure and good habits, bad habits. And if Katy Perry's got a show at 8 p.m. tonight, what type of workout should she be doing and to optimize that performance? Mm-hmm. What do we do mentally and physically leading up to that show? 5 hours before, 3 hours before, 1 hour before. So when she walks out on that stage, she knows she's done everything to prepare. What do we do when they get off stage? So that was kind of something I really developed, and I still develop it. I've been doing it for maybe 15 years with artists now, and so that's kind of. I don't know if that was answered your question, but that's a little more about my background.
That's great. That was kind of what you touched on there. Was one of the things that I wanted to also ask you, which we'll go into a little bit later as we talk about Alex a little bit more, which was kind of one of the guys that we wanted to speak about with his transformation that you've recently been through. Alex, I hope I get his name or pronounce it correctly anyway, because I'm not great with pronunciation. It's Alexander Skarsgård. Is the correct
That's
answer.
A good pronunciation.
Right. I'll take that one. Who was? I think he was also in Tarzan. He's been in the new Kong movie, Battleship, and amongst a few others. And obviously, you worked with him from The Northman as well, which we watched the trailer for the other day, and looks like an awesome film, which comes out in April. And the film has a lot of other actors and actresses, such as I think it's Anya Taylor-Joy, Bjork. Yeah. William Dafoe, Bill Skarsgård, and then Nicole Kidman as well. So how did you start working with Alex?
I actually worked with Alex on Tarzan 2016. Yeah. That's when I got to know him. So that was my first movie job, actually. Mm-hmm. My first big Hollywood gig. So I did Tarzan with Alex, had a great time. He looked great. We got along. So I knew already back then he had this project that he wanted to do, this Viking project. Mm-hmm. So this movie, The Northman, has been a long time coming. They've been working on it for a long time. And finally, they you know, 2 years ago, he gave me the call, told me that we're doing it. And the rest is history.
So we'll get Carl, our producer, to pop some images up of Alex's transformation as well, because it's fucking awesome. Like, he looked awesome for the Tarzan movie, but I think he looked even better for the more recent movie in the Northman as well. What sort of changes did Alex go through in respect to, what was his weight changes? Do you remember what they were from when he progressed through those different periods from Tarzan to the new movie just on now to when you first started with him?
Alex is a hard gainer, so he's tall. And he loved to do cardio. So when I met him on Tarzan, he was running 10K at least four times a week. So he kept the weight off. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a whole lot of muscle mass, which was great for me, because the first thing I did with him was to I had him stop running and we started doing strength training and force feeding him. Mm-hmm. So he gained, I think he gained, it's out there somewhere, but I can't remember if it's 20 pounds or 25 pounds or something. Then he lost most of it after, because he went back to eating burgers and enjoying life.
All the good shit. You know,
traveling the world, filming movies and running. And with it, so it was a similar journey this time, actually. I think we landed... He gained about 20 pounds this time as well. But this time we wanted more of a intimidating, thicker look. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a wolf bear in this movie. Yeah. So we wanted him to be a little more imposing.
Mm-hmm. When you were training him, so obviously, because we watched the trailer and he's moving and he's fighting and he's very obviously fit and healthy. And you said he was doing all this running and then had to transition to more weightlifting for size and, you know, things like that. Do you have to take that into account in terms of he actually does need good cardiovascular fitness as well as being muscly big and strong? Like, how do you balance that for such a guy?
When you do a movie, you can throw cardio out the window. I always do some high intensity cardio just for health reasons, but no one's gonna look at an actor in a movie or an actress and see, oh, they got good cardio. No one cares.
Yeah.
It's all about how you look and how you move. So when you build these characters, I always say it's about building the character, not the body. Let's say for Northman, for example, we had to prep his shoulder a ton because he's fighting with a sword and an axe. So we focused on that. Then it's the physical aspect or the way he looks, obviously, but movements and movement patterns and the aesthetics, that's what matters. Mm-hmm. For Tomb Raider, Alicia Vikander, we did climbing 2 times a week. We did biking because you needed to know how to bike, and MMA training, but we kept all those things very technical.
Yeah.
So we could focus on the strength training. And that's the best way of explaining it. When building these characters, you want them to move and to look a certain way. So you keep all the movement training or the all the skills you give them, you keep that very technical. If you do MMA training, you don't go through a proper MMA training.
Yeah.
You learn the techniques, the combos, how to move. And then you take all that energy and you put that into the strength training. Because if you have a 100% of energy every day, I'm not going to waste that on cardio or, you know, biking as fast as I can. I'm gonna take that 100% and put it in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how many sessions was he doing per week then?
Strength training, I always schedule 7 days a week. We end up doing 5, sometimes 6, depending on how he feels.
Yeah.
So, or how they feel. I would say with Alex, I always like to schedule 7 days a week, but we never end up doing seven days a week. It really comes down to me monitoring them and you know, when you're with someone, you can tell when they need a day off.
Yeah.
How far out of the movies do you start training them? Is it like 14 weeks, 20 weeks, 30 weeks? And then when you're actually on set with them, I'm assuming potentially you are, do you train them throughout the whole film?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, in the perfect world, you get 6 months before. I've had times when I've been getting three months to prepare someone. That's not enough time to really get there. So you always have the prep time. Then while filming, I'm there. You know, I'm the one who will work with the chefs to design the menus. I make sure that the right food comes up at the right time and that my actor eats it. I'll you know, stand there. I'll make sure that
it's like having a full-time baby.
Otherwise, you know, what's the point? And I'm also there to do movement coaching. So if there's a physical scene, you have a stunt team who are doing all these coordinated fights, but I'll be standing next to the director, watching the monitor. And, you know, if there's a close-up of your back, I'm there to guide you. I'm there to pump you up, but I can also see those small things, you know, activate your rhomboids, shrug back, you know.
Get the pump on.
Yeah. Those small things that will make a big change, because, you know, neither a director or an actor will be an expert when it comes to all of that. So, yeah. Everything from building up the gyms to being on set, monitor everything. I'm there 24/7.
Wow, that seems like really intense as well. So do you
it
have...
Is.
When this is a bit off topic in terms of the people you train, but do you give yourself time to train and eat, and or is it just when the movie's on, it's they are your priority?
They are my priority, which means I train when I get a little break.
Yeah.
But I'm used to that. You know, I have 3 kids and 3 dogs, and that's how I live my life. When I get a little chunk of time, I'll make the most out of it. But yeah, it is intense when you work with someone.
Yeah, so you were saying as well, Alex was a bit of a hard gainer. I was definitely one of those people when I was growing up, when I was 16, 17, 18, first getting into the gym and starting doing some bodybuilding. And I just remember having to put like tons of shit away. I was eating pizza, donuts, everything, just trying to get weight on. What type of nutrition approach did you adopt with Alex? Was that something similar that you did? Were you just trying to get calories in there, or were you still keeping stuff fairly clean with his nutritional programming as well?
Fairly clean, I would say. This time it was easier because I knew exactly how he would react since I worked with him in the past. Last time on Tarzan, I had him up to 7,000 calories.
Jesus, really?
For a couple of weeks during the bulk, because he would not gain or he would keep on losing body fat.
Oh my God.
That would just be people's dream, by the way.
Yeah, 7,000 calories.
Yeah, he liked that part. He didn't like the diet. Other people are actually struggling with eating a lot. Yeah. It really comes down to who you are as a person. But this time it was much easier. I don't like, you know, I always talk about doing a build-up cycle and a cutting cycle. Mm-hmm. And during the build-up cycle, when you eat more calories and you train heavy, I don't want you to lose body fat, but I don't necessarily need you to bulk and gain a whole lot of body fat. Yeah. And I was able to dial that in this time because I knew how his body works and what type of diet
works. I guess as well, it depends on the length of time you have with them. So you say sometimes you have them for 6 months and the diet can probably be a bit more balanced. But if you have 3 months or 2 months, it's like, right, okay, cut down, low calories. That must be quite difficult because I know from your Magnus method, you have a very balanced approach with your nutrition and training.
Yes. So many times when you do these extreme makeovers, you take balance and throw it out the window, right?
Yeah.
There's no room for that pizza or that beer. But I'm a big believer in balance in life. So actually on Northman, Alex could live by those rules as soon as we got there. When you do the prep, you want to be focused. You don't want to mess around. But as soon as you hit the mark and you start to film, my goal is to actually give you as much balance as possible, if possible. Because that's the hardest part. We always talk about this buildup in the cutting cycle, but the hardest part is to the maintenance cycle while filming for 6 months.
That's the part.
You have someone who's gained all that muscle mass, they're low on body fat, and then you're supposed to keep that while running a marathon every day, which is, you know, fighting and jumping around and that is while staying injury free. So that is always the hardest part.
That's the part that I was going to ask you about next, is essentially sustaining that condition that you've got them in, because I'm guessing that training might have to change ever so slightly as you get into that part where they're in production. Because I remember when I did a bodybuilding show like years and years ago, and I struggled to remember what day it was, never mind be able to read lines after being in such a condition that you've been dieting for ages. So do you have to then change or manipulate stuff to do with his nutrition and diet as they get into production so that he has the energy and he has the cognitive functioning to be able to remember lines and stay in that sort of condition?
100%. You're totally right. And to avoid ending up there, you know, you want to make sure that you finish your diet about a week before they start to film, so they can really, you know, read their lines and work and pull that off. And training will change throughout. I would say when you work on a big physical movie, you get more and more worn out because you're walking around with that low body fat and high muscle mass, and you can't stop. You can't, you know, you got to show up on set every day and fight and run around. And so my training will have to adapt, and it becomes more and more isolated exercises. I'm not going to have you do deadlifts when you're overworked and tired. We'll just adapt the training. And honestly, towards the end, I wouldn't recommend that training for anyone.
Yeah.
The training's good. Every single exercise is great. The program is great, but you need more recovery, you need more balance. And if your arm starts to hurt, we can't take a break. We need to figure out how to work around that, right?
Yeah.
And with a regular person, you would like, okay, let's take 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's the downside or the side that, you know, that I don't love about it, mm-hmm. but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's the job. I suppose the other thing that we were speaking about this morning was because we watched the trailer and I saw one of the scenes of Alex and I was like, wow, he just looks like a fucking juggernaut ready to walk through walls. It looks stacked. But do they record all the scenes of him looking mega jacked at the beginning so he can get those out, or does it just flow as the movie goes?
I wish, dude. There's a few movies out there when they've been able to do that and when they've been thinking about like that, and I would love if they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been on a few movies now, or I've been on a lot of movies now, and that has never happened.
Yeah.
They need to go by location and where in the world they're filming, and like a schedule, how they can build the stages. And so unfortunately that's never a thing, but I wish.
It'd make your job a lot easier.
In charge, I would shoot it all at once and then.
Well, one of the other things that I think a lot of our viewers would be interested in as well, and I know it's something I've interested in because I've looked at a couple of channels, and you often hear rumors. I don't know, with being in the industry yourself more so, it's about celebrity steroid use. Have you heard much about that in the kind of acting industry?
No, not within the industry. I have to say I'm in my own bubble with my own team, working with on projects. So it's not like all Hollywood trainers hang out with each other.
Yeah.
I do know it's a club. Gunnar Peterson is a good friend, and there's a few of them. But no, I take that as a compliment when someone is saying that.
Yeah.
And that's because I want that mindset about being positive. And at the same time, this is a little frustrating because it's so easy to discredit someone's hard work.
Yeah.
When, you know, I work with a ton of females as well, more females than men.
Yeah.
No one's accusing Gal Gadot or Mackenzie Davis or Alicia Vikander or Katy Perry or Dua Lipa to do something. But if it's a male, it's easy to throw that, you know, or to accuse them of that. And for me, that's not a part of what I do.
Yeah.
I would not want to be a part of that. That's all I can say.
Yeah. I think
people know that as well. You know, when people come to me or when I, it's always the word of mouth. They know what I'm about. Yeah. So I never have to have that conversation, which is extremely relieving. You know, I don't want any part of that.
That's amazing.
Do I think it exists in Hollywood? Yeah, I'm sure it exists in Hollywood, just like it exists in
everywhere else,
any part of society or in any country, right?
Yeah.
There's always going to be people doing it.
Yeah. I guess like for some people as well, if they get this kind of proposition put in front of them, well, has a multi-million pound role and you just need to be jacked to do it. You need to take such and stuff to be there. I'm sure dependent on people's mindset.
I think that's overrated. I think that people are not willing to put their health on the line just because for them, it's just another gig.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that it's that everyone's eager to jump on that. Mm-hmm. I've never met anyone that I work with whoever talked about it even. But it's a good question. I try to avoid talking about it because it's not I don't know enough about it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not a part of what I do. But yeah, I don't like to see my actors or actresses being discredited for all the hard work. Because here's the thing. If you have someone with you who are dictating every meal or, and optimizing your training, you can get a lot of results in, in, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
Especially when you, when you're a beginner. If I would work with you guys, you would probably gain a pound or two.
Yeah.
Because you're already there. But take someone who's been, you know, smoking, drinking beer and eating burgers or eating two meals a day, and then you change their lives completely. Yeah, they are gonna, they are gonna put on a lot of mass in the beginning. Would that continue if I would do, you know, would Alex after a while, if I did another job with him now, would he gain as much? No. He's kind of reached his peak weight wise. You you can make a lot of gains in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beginner gains.
Yeah. It's that
beginning gains.
Yeah, that novelty effect and being hyper responsive is a massive thing. I think, I suppose why that conversation comes into play a lot of the time anyway is because a lot of people will see individuals and then see them in the movie where they're under this perfect lighting and they've been blown up on screen, and it's very easy to take that out of context to what someone looks like on, in perfect conditions versus like someone's iPhone where they took a shitty photo in the bathroom, and that's where sometimes those conversations come into play.
And I might have prepared for a year.
Yeah, exactly.
With the best nutritionists and trainers.
Exactly.
You know, 5-6 days a week working their asses off. But yeah, I can really only speak for my projects and
Well, one of the other interesting things that you briefly touched on before was sort of post-production. And I think you quite often see sometimes where actresses or actresses will post-movie kind of, what's the word? I'll try and put this in the most polite way, kind of take some time off, get a little bit soft, enjoy life a little bit more. Why do you kind of think that happens? Do you just think because the routine's so intense for that period of time, they need just that a bit of escapism and break away from everything that's been so full on for that length of time?
100%. I think there's many different reasons. If you gain 15 pounds of muscle mass and you push for a year to keep it on, you do want to change, you need to change. Mm-hmm. And I think for an actor or an actresses, it's also really important not to get stuck in a genre, right?
Yeah.
If you're a serious actor and you do, let's say, superhero movie or physical role, you don't want to stay that way because that will, you will be stuck in that genre if you don't change.
Yeah.
I think acting is about changing, becoming different characters, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think,
and they don't have that. I mean, I would love to stay in that shape all the time, but it's also a big part of my life. You guys as well. It's a part of our lives. But these guys that I work with, or these actors, that's not a part of their life in the same way. They don't come from that.
I guess that's where it's different depending on the individual you're working with, because then you'll get some dudes like, I don't know, The Rock or Chris Hemsworth, they're born with that at an eight. They enjoy fitness anyway, so I suppose those kind of regimes just come natural, as opposed to someone where it's a bit more has to be forced and incentivized by something else to do that. And again, that's where
The Rock built his career on his physique, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Huge person.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah.
So I mean, I expect him to
maintain,
be that guy.
So how's
the gym?
How do you have to change and model the sort of sessions that you do? Because I know you've launched an app and an application as well. How do you have to adjust your Magnus method from those when you're doing it with the Hollywood actors and celebrities and pop stars and stuff to when you're doing it with the everyday person? But then also, what sort of stuff also carries over that you can still implement with inside your method?
Programming, the philosophy is the same. Mm-hmm. I would say I think that we shall approach training and nutrition a little more balanced than what you do when you do one of these projects, because as I said before, you take balance and throw it out the window, and you can't really take a break, but you should allow yourself to build yourself up over a longer period and actually make this a part of your life. Mm-hmm. That's what I preach. But the programming, the choice of food, nutrition, the philosophy stays the same. So when you go on the app, you know, it is the same type of split when you do one of my superhero workouts. Obviously, when you work with someone for, let's say, a year, you do change exercises. It's a little more generic on the app. You can't have 100 different programs for under one program. But yeah, it the basics are the same.
Just to touch on the women you've worked with, so you won't know this about me, but I predominantly on my YouTube channel, I train like other people, and I've trained like Wonder Woman, so Gal Gadot and Alicia Vikander, and I always gave a shout out to you in my YouTube videos because I review a lot of people. So I've done The Rock, I've done loads and loads of people, and every time I did yours, I'd say to Cal at the end, I'd recommend people to do this workout because it's actually a solid workout. So I remember Alyssa's, it was like deadlifts, squats, hacks. It was something really staple, a perfect workout. But then there's loads of other people I've done before, like JLo, for example. And she has like 1,000 reps of abs and cardio and this and that. But your approach was so different and it was actually really refreshing because I didn't know at the time who you were. I was like, oh, this guy called Magnus, he's their coach, like he trains them. And when you are training these women, did they train before they worked with you? So were they complete beginners? Had they just stepped foot in the gym? Because I mean, they're in awesome shape anyway, and you got them in incredible shape. But were they beginners or did they find it quite difficult? Because from a woman's perspective, building muscle, it takes a little bit longer for us.
Yeah, totally. Well, I've worked with both. I mean, I've had thousands of clients over my 21 years. But if we're talking about the movies that I've done with females specifically, and most of them have some sort of background within, let's say, ballet or training. But it's just a whole other, it's not one step up, it's two, three steps up when you do something like this. It's a whole lot level. So it is like starting from the beginning. With that said, the body's got muscle memory. People respond really well when they've been active before or training before. But yeah, I treat everyone like they're starting from the beginning. And you need to build that foundation. I need to see how you move. If you can't squat perfectly, you know, I know that halfway into the movie, you're going to get injured, or it's about building that foundation first. So that's important to mention as well. It's not only about jumping into a hard program, and you need to move correctly first and build that foundation.
Definitely.
One of the things that we've spoken about quite a few times on our podcast, Magnus, is the differences or lack of differences of when training men versus women, because we tend to train a lot of our male and female members and clients very, very similar, because I don't think, well, for us at the level that we teach as well, there's not that many things that need to essentially change it. And again, women aren't mini men, but the differences in training, apart from some of the endurance stuff, don't tend to differ that much. At that higher level of when you're teaching and performing that level with actresses and celebrities, is that still the same, or do you have to change much between working with some of those celebrity guys and girls?
Love that question. Sometimes it's very similar. The difference is less than people think, but you know, we know that men have an over-dimensioned chest muscle, for example. It's also it's less genetics and more ideal. Mm-hmm. What's the ideal of men and women? Women like to train more legs and butt, and men like bigger chests and bigger arms. So that affects a little bit how I do my programming. Mm-hmm. And for example, I like to favor, I do push and pull for women many times in one session, where for men, I split it up into two different sessions. So small changes, but a lot of the exercises stays the same. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's some sets and reps that I like to change. Yeah. I wouldn't do 3-4 chest exercises with a woman.
Yeah.
But I would with a man.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that kind of, you've probably hit the nail on the head there with idealism of how the end look is supposed to kind of be portrayed on the screen, because again, with a lot of the session, the volume, the sets, the reps, that can still be applied and applicable across whether someone's male or female.
Absolutely. And you can get great results with 20 reps and go lighter, or yeah, with 6 reps and heavy. It really comes down to the diet. I thought about this. When you look at build-up cycles and cutting cycles, training-wise, the thing that really matters most is the diet, right? Mm-hmm. You could more or less train the same and you would gain weight or get a lot of gains. And then, yeah, I do like to do lighter weights and higher reps during a cutting cycle, but not because it's necessarily beneficial more than it's the, you easily get injured when you're on a diet. So that's why I favor lighter weights.
Mm-hmm. Have you,
so that's the reason.
Have you ever worked with someone, and so say for a woman example, because our hormones can be all over the place and, you know, the time of the month and things like that, when you're working with someone in particular and you're looking at their diet and their calories, have you had people who have actually really struggled before and then you've had to go back and completely just like reassess what you're doing because they're just not getting it, or they're not enjoying it? Because I guess enjoyment's a massive
all
thing
the time.
As well.
Every single time. I think that's part of being trying to be a good coach is that you stay humble, and that it's not always the same formula, the same way. Same thing with when did I, if I would work with the two of you right now, I think I know the amount of calories I want to put you on and the macro split and everything. But listen, I'm going to monitor and I'm going to make changes. Mm. How are you reacting to it? How do you feel?
Yeah.
Are you able to pull it off? Are you able to eat that way? Are you able to train that way? So I think, you know, as a coach, you need to be able to meet people where they are and make adjustments. So both training wise and nutrition wise, I will analyze and make changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Not about me, it's about you.
Mm.
What do you think the toughest job is, Magnus, in respect to when you've been given, I don't know the exact way it works, but a production company said to you, like, we've got to get this guy or this woman in this shape by such and such a time. What's been the toughest kind of task or objective that you've had with someone to try and meet with a deadline, which has been kind of like pushing the needle, so to speak, with what you've had to get done in a certain time frame?
Yeah, it's actually always the actor that or actress who wants you, and then the production company or the film company is forced to hire you or negotiate with them. So it's always the word of mouth.
Yeah,
I would say every single job has had its challenges.
Yeah,
one that comes to mind is when I worked with Mark Ruffalo on I Know This Much Is True, mm-hmm. which was an HBO show a couple years ago or last year, where he's playing twins and they wanted him to gain 40 pounds for one of the roles in 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
And that's not doable.
That's insane.
Yeah, but we're talking no training. We're talking, you know, I worked as a nutritionist there. I did train him a little bit too, just for health reasons, not to look a certain way. But what I convinced him to do, which I'm so happy they said yes to, is to have him lose 20 pounds before playing character number one.
Yeah.
And then we actually got, I think it was 8 weeks, if I remember correctly, to gain 40. So basically lose, drop 20 and then gain 40, which is just another 20 on top of his regular weight. Mm-hmm. And that was difficult because it's hard to make that change or gain that much in a short time. Well, he pulled it off.
We'll have to put a picture up on the screen.
Yeah, we'll get that popped up, because I'm sure that must be insane. Yeah.
I know this much is true, but 40 pounds, and I think it was around 8 weeks. But obviously, when you're filming as well, they improve while filming. So
yeah.
When I say that I work with someone for 4 months before a movie, they do train and improve throughout the movie. So you might see that picture from six months in, right?
Yeah.
So that's always important to know.
Have you ever had any projects like that where you've just been like, this is an absolute impossible task, which we can't
yes.
even, yeah.
People don't know, or actors and producers and directors don't know. They might say, oh, I'm picturing this guy walking around with 40 pounds.
Yeah.
but no, we can't do that.
Yeah,
that's impossible.
Yeah.
You have to put or we can try to make him look like he's gained 40 pounds on the screen while getting him more cut. So you can, you know, there's always things you can do or manipulate.
Has there been a job that you've turned down because you don't think, to say they're like, oh, 4 weeks, we want this person to look like that. Has there
yes,
been a job that you've, oh really, that you've just said, no, I can't do that?
Yeah, all the time. I try to sit down with the person I'm working with before. And if I feel like they don't understand, that they just want me because I'm supposed to be good at what I do, yeah. if they don't have the commitment, if they're not gonna immerse themselves,
yeah.
they don't know what they're in for, I will probably not do it, or I will not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't do it for the money, and I'm fortunate. I'm in that position when I can actually say yes and no to things. And but I always have said yes and no to things because it's my reputation on the line as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That, you know, that job will lead to the next job.
Yeah, but that's it exactly. And that's also, it highlights how much respect you have for yourself and your ethos. Whereas a lot of people and a lot of trainers would be like, oh yeah, I'm doing it for the money. I'm doing it because it's this actor or actress or whoever it is. But having that level of respect for yourself and your business, and the fact you've had it from the start as well, it just highlights why you are so successful as a coach, and that why these people do choose you. Because if you just said yes to everyone,
But a lot of coaches do have that issue where they'll just take anyone on.
That's
and
what
then
I mean.
You can be the best coach in the world, but the other person's applications got to be there to get the end result. And I guess you would have in that field that you're in, working with those kind of people. Have you had any jobs where it's like, this is just a fucking nightmare because they won't do what I say, they don't want to stick to the routine, they don't want to eat the diet, they don't...
Many times, my friend, many times.
But then I guess you've got the pressure on top of that of trying to produce for like this film as well at the end of the line.
Yeah, well, and I work with a lot of artists, and I work with a lot of regular Hollywood people as well. But yeah, you do end up in situations when I would say any coach would.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's a little more extreme here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll run into the same issues, but times 10, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tried to do my best, but there's been times when I say, I don't think I'm the right person for this job. And
yeah.
then I'll step out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you have to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, different people are going to click with different people. Like we had Ethan Suplee on the podcast last year?
Yeah, last year.
What an inspiration.
Yeah,
huh?
he was a great guy, and we spoke a lot about his transformation. I think he worked with quite a few different people and worked with a couple of different coaches, and he went on a lot of ups and downs through his journey where he became very depressed, and he relied on alcohol and drugs for a long period of time. And I think at one point he was explaining the podcast that he was weighed on shipping scales because he was too heavy for any of the scales. So to see the kind of transformation he went through and the sort of things he was challenged with and what he did was just unbelievable, wasn't it, from that podcast that we listened to?
Yeah, and what was interesting from his perspective, he was saying he kept getting... Was it rolled? You get what do you call
it? He kept getting jobs and casting for
yeah,
just
getting
being
jobs
big.
For his weight.
Yeah.
And he wanted to move away from that, but he was scared to move away from his body weight because he thought he wasn't going to get any more jobs, and he did.
That's why they casted him. He thought that was his identity,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever, I guess, coached someone where they've had to put on a ridiculous amount to be of a larger size and not just muscly?
Yeah, well, Mark Ruffalo is a good example. That was all gaining body fat. And I helped Sarah Paulson last year as well, brilliant actress for what was that show? When she's playing, I should know this.
we'll find out after.
Yeah, it does happen. It does happen when I'm hired as a nutritionist more and just to make them look, you know, heavier and bigger.
Mm. Yeah.
But I always try to give them a little, you know, a good training program to go with that so they can stay as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
Because gaining all that weight and making someone fat is actually, you want to do that the healthiest way possible. If you can't, it's not worth doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
I guess that must be kind of a, in some cases, and with other coaches as well, a bit of a psychological challenge, because as coaches, we, I suppose, all want people to be fitter, healthier, stronger, and come away from things as in a better place. But for some of these jobs and roles where you're really trying to push the pedal with stuff and get people to place in a certain amount of time, I mean, especially if we look at some really extreme examples of, what was the film that Christian Bale was in where he was like so skinny? It was
The Machinist. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
went from Batman to that.
Yeah. Like, it must be challenging for you as well from that psychological and just that caring point of view to see some people like really push the pedal to get to a certain position because they have to.
I think they, you know, that's a good example. I think Christian Bale would have benefited from having someone like me. So the way I see it is, if the actor's always going to do these big changes, mm-hmm. and when they do, many times it's so unhealthy, right?
Yeah.
So if I can help them to do that in a healthier way,
yeah,
I'm happy to do that. But I have to say, my passion is, like I said before, taking people from darkness to light, to be part of that journey. So doing all these movies, I love being a part of doing these big movies, but it's not my passion.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
If I would have to choose, I would work with people that wants to get healthier and wants to feel better and wants that change in life, regular people. That would be my choice if I had to choose.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate that I can do both. But
don't
get me wrong. I love being a part of the doing these movies, but it's not my passion.
Yeah.
It's not what I'm here for.
So you'd rather see Karen deadlift on a Monday morning any day over?
Yeah.
We have a Christian Bale bench
press. 5 every morning, 5 a.m. I think the second we lose touch with that, we're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be a terrible coach if I didn't see clients every day.
Yeah.
I don't need to see clients every day. I don't need to see clients ever again for the money. Because I have a lot of businesses within health and wellness.
Yeah.
And the movies, obviously, when you get to the top, they're paying. But it's not about that.
Mm.
If I wouldn't see clients every day and get better and develop and being a part of that journey, I would be miserable.
You're very humble. You're very, very, but really, because you've worked with obviously the best of the best and you've got these people in incredible shape, and to be able to say that, a lot of our listeners would just be sat there clapping their hands, because that is truly humble and it shows how much passion you have for health and wellness and fitness for everyone, not just these elite people. It's everybody.
Yeah, I think, I suppose you can probably correct me if I'm wrong as well, Magnus. We spoke something about this similar last week, and it's talking about the endorphin release you get from certain wins. And I suppose it doesn't matter if you help Karen or Sharon lose 10 pounds who works at the Walmart down the street, or whether you help Christian Bale or whoever it may be lose 10 pounds for the biggest Hollywood movie, that 10 pounds of weight loss and that joy that that person gets from that journey still feels the same for a coach?
I would say it feels even better if you help the guy from Walmart.
Yeah.
You're really changing his life.
Yeah.
He's changing his life, but you get to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
When you build a superhero on the big screen, you're not changing anyone's life, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my passion. Mental health is really important to me, and I know what good training and nutrition can do to people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my passion and that's what I'm here for.
So where do you see yourself, or what do you see yourself doing more over the next kind of 5 years? What's in store for you?
Well, just starting my supplement company. So I'm spending more time doing that. I will always teach, you know, train with clients. I might do one movie a year instead of consulting on many. On these big movies, you need to travel, right?
Yeah.
They're always filmed somewhere else. And so I'll probably do that for a couple more years. And then I'll focus on training clients, spending time with my family and building my businesses. Right now I'm working a lot with I'm a co-founder of it's called Unsweet Wine. So I'm spending a lot of time on getting this amazing wine.
Big wine drinker.
Unsweet wine, zero sugar out to the world. So whether you're diabetic or you're just someone who wants to be able to have a glass of wine and still, you know.
That's amazing. Stay fit,
we'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Nice little niche there. Yeah.
We have a cava, sparkling, and a red, Talon red, and we have a white as well. So I'll make sure to send someone over.
Amazing.
Oh my God, definitely. I'd love to try some. Yeah.
Well, we're over in America in 7 weeks as well, aren't we? So.
Yeah, love that.
Oh, yeah. Are you coming to LA?
I'd
like to.
If there's free wine, then yeah.
Come on over.
We're going to Florida first, aren't we? Then we're going to see what the plans are for.
Okay. Well, if you come to LA, you let me know.
Yeah, definitely.
The Northman is out on the 22nd of April, I think, if I'm correct, in cinemas everywhere. And again, we were watching the trailer this morning. It looks absolutely awesome. And I think you did a great job with Alex as well. But before we close the podcast off, Magnus, where can people find more of you, my friend?
Well, I got a YouTube channel, started a year ago, so I'm YouTubing Magnus Method, Instagram, Magnus Method as well, and my website, magnusmethod.com, or my training app, which is magnusmethodapp.com.
Amazing.
Cool. We'll include all those links for you anyway in the podcast show notes, so people will be able to directly find your handsome self anyway. But a massive, massive thank you for coming on today, mate, because I know you're a very busy man and filling us with insight, because I'm sure the listeners will take a lot away from this podcast.
I appreciate the time. Thanks for having me.
Thanks Magnus.
So much. Cheers, buddy.